When I got on the metro at Bastille, there was standing room only. I squeezed in and found a space next to a young guy who was on his cell phone, playing a war game. I thought to myself, those two words don't belong near each other. I could see explosions and mass killings. His display flashed a body count at the top. By the time the metro pulled in at Opera, he had killed 260 people and destroyed three villages. The level he had reached entitled him to use even more powerful weapons and give orders to other shooters. Allies, presumably. I tapped him on the shoulder. He ignored me and went on firing. I tapped him on the shoulder again. He hit pause and looked over at me, reluctantly. I gave him an appreciative little smile. He didn't get the sarcasm. He resumed his shooting. As we were about to reach Boucicaut, I tapped him on the shoulder once more. But before he could hit pause, I asked him what time it was. The distraction caused his weapon to misfire. He looked at me. He was irritated. I moved away and got off the metro. As I walked on the platform towards the exit, I said to myself, I had probably saved about 20 lives and spared two or three huts in a village somewhere.
Another episode of the Muffy Drake Show. You know what? I was just thinking about the current situation with the, well, all the different countries in the world and the political. What I mean is, I once had two friends in the third grade, Timmy and Tommy, and you know what? They were brothers. And you know what else? That's right. They were twins. I'll never forget the one day they shut the whole school down. They really did. We lived in sunny Florida at the time, before Dad got in trouble with the circus people. Anyway, one morning it was very cold by Florida standards, and they came to school, Timmy and Tommy, without their coats. Now, we all had our coats on that morning, so they looked really funny, shivering in the cold outside the building while we waited to go in. I could see frost on the window of Mrs. McGinnis's classroom. Finally, they let us in. And the teacher was livid. Timmy, Tommy, why did your mother let you come to school without coats? It's freezing outside. And do you know what they both said? That's right. On their way to school, they met two penguins on the beach who were really cold. The penguins were so sad. Tommy said they were twins, just like us, and didn't know what to do because it was so cold outside. And that's when the penguins started crying ice cubes, like you see in the cartoons. Well, Timmy and Tommy knew what they had to do. They gave the penguins their coats, and they stopped crying. And we're happy, and started laughing, and they all had a good laugh together on the beach. So that was the story my friends told the teacher, and she got really, really mad. She looked like one of those cartoons where the steams come out of the ears. So, you know, I mean, she's just like, what do you mean the penguins took your coat? Penguins don't live on the beach of Florida. Timmy and Tommy stood by the story. And I mean, they wouldn't budge. They even brought in the principal to the classroom in front of all of us to question Tommy and Timmy about the penguin story. They still wouldn't change the story. They gave their coats to the shivering penguins on the beach. Then they brought in the superintendent of the whole school district, and she questioned my friends about their story and what happened to their coats. Same answer. I mean, that was their story, and they were sticking to it. Now, at this point, I'm thinking, come on, guys, give it up. It's not worth the hassle. But they never changed their story. And do you know what? That was their reputation all through school. That one incident marked them for life. And do you know what happened to those two twins, Tommy and Timmy, who stuck by that crazy penguin story? I really don't know. But the two penguins went into real estate in Cocoa Beach during the 1990s and made a killing on high-rise condos.
Just joining us, you're in for a real treat. We are talking about the new Salvador Dali Museum that's opening up this weekend. And with us is the curator of that museum, Jacques how do you pronounce your last name?
Duvalier. Duvalier.
How do you spell that?
D-U- V-A-L-L-I-E-R.
Okay, we're with Jacques Duvalier, and he's going to tell us all about the new Salvador Dali Museum. I have a strange question for you. When you look at those paintings, which color is your favorite?
Yes, that is a strange question, I must say. It's the first time somebody asks that question. I don't know, blue, red, yellow, but I think there are more interesting things to say about the museum.
Such as?
Well, I can talk about why we decided to have a new Salvador Dali Museum in Paris, how big it is, what we expect, how many visitors we would like to have, and which are the famous works of art we have in the museum. If you want, I can tell you about that.
Okay, that sounds interesting. And you'll include the color, perhaps.
Again, I think this is a strange question, because color is not really the main thrust of the work of Dali. I probably believe that you're going to ask me if we have the melting time and the clocks, but we do not have that painting. We have many others.
Oh, that's the one I want to talk about. So what is it? I'm looking at the watches, and it looks like, I had a watch like that, by the way, one time, and I do not understand that painting at all.
Well, it's a very nice painting. It's very interesting. And now I will tell you a true story. Dali was in his home, I think, with his wife, Gala, and some friends. And the friends and Gala wanted to go to the cinema. This is a true story. I'm not giving you bullshit. And they had dinner, and there was some camembert on the table. Camembert is a French cheese from Normandy, you know, where the D-Day landings took place. So camembert is a very stinky French cheese, and this was towards the end of the meal, and the camembert was getting runny on the table, and Dali was making this painting, and he did not know how to finish it, and he did not want to go to the movies with Gala and their friends, so he said, I must finish my painting, and he saw the camembert that was running on the table, and then he had the idea of doing the painting with the melting time and how time affects everything that is living on Earth, everything including cheese, and that is why he painted these melting clocks.
Okay, now for my American listeners, what I'd like you to do is tell that story again, because they'll have no idea what kind of cheese that is. So could you tell that story quickly and put, instead of, what was that cheese again?
Camembert. Camembert.
How do you spell that?
C-A-M-E-M-B-E-R-T.
Okay, instead of camembert, could you say Velveeta? That's V E L.
Myself, and I'll take the food home. Why won't I don't take it home? I take it out into the parking lot and eat it. But we don't have a fire extinguisher, but if somebody, this is kind of embarrassing, but I met someone here a few weeks ago, and they came in, and she was beautiful, and I asked her out on a date, and she accepted, and we went to a different drive-in, so this was a few weeks ago, and if somebody would like to come now, I can give away some more, another offer of free hot dogs. If you have penicillin, a broad spectrum antibiotic, and you could bring that to me, then I think that would be worth at least 5 or 6 hot dogs with all the fixings, all the condiments, whatever you want to put on them. But it could be an expired prescription for penicillin or a broad spectrum antibiotic. That would be fine. So, I'm looking now, and it looks like 3 minutes to the inauguration. So come and get them. We've got hot dogs and hamburgers and french fries, no salad bar, at the concession stand.
Jesus, that rat's as big as a fat chihuahua.
Next-door neighbor, she is beautiful. Very young, tall. I believe she used to model. She hates me. I'm short and ugly. I'm an old man who spends a lot of time tending to my yard. We are so close. Our homes, that is. The door to my basement is only 10 feet from her patio. I know this because I measure it every night. So, I'm working in my yard, near that door that will take you into my basement. I saw her. Lovely. I froze. I didn't know what to say. I don't always say the right thing. All I wanted was to break the ice, you know. So she's standing right there so close I could touch her. She's called the police on me 11 times. I called to her, the words shooting out of my mouth like a game of lawn darts. Those words now hurtling through the air, right at her. Hi, Doreen. Can you come a little closer and tell me if this rag I'm holding in my hand smells like chloroform? I sometimes panic, you know, with opening lines. I don't know what to say, or maybe it was the intonation I used. Maybe I should have said it this way. Hi, Doreen. Hey, can you come a little teensy bit closer to me and tell me, does this rag I'm holding, does it smell like chloroform to you? Oh, she's going back into the house now, I think, to call the cops on me. Again.
I would like you to just remember how wonderful those hot dogs tasted last summer. Maybe you ate them right off the barbecue grill, or you were like me and took the whole package and placed it on top of a hot running automobile engine and drove to Sacramento. That's where the best condiments are. Everyone knows that. And I appreciate the hard labor the ketchup and mustard people must go through working in those camps. Well, it's 10 minutes to go until the impeachment. So we have the hot dogs and the hot dog buns waiting for you here in the concession stand. And thankfully, they are not bitter about no one caring to come to the concession stand and poke your head in, even if just to say, hello, hot dogs. If you come in now, before the start of the show, I have a special treat for you. The management of this fine drive-in has given me permission to stage a production of Cats. This will maybe take care of a previous problem we had with the health department and their discovery of some rather large, well, they were too big technically to be called rats. The first act is about to begin, so come and see them at the concession stand. 8 minutes now to go until the impeachment.
We broke up, he says, when I open the front door in my robe and slippers. But he's not disheveled or anything. He says it as though he happens to be in the neighborhood, and he's dropping by because he forgot his umbrella. I'm the first to know. I've always been the first to know. It lasted 3 years, I say. No way can I be as casual as him about it, but I try, nonetheless. Yeah, he sighs. We met at that party by the lake. Whose house was it again? He throws himself down on the sofa. Susie's, I answer. I can see he's reminiscing. The coffee's still hot, so I go to the kitchen and return with 2 mugs. I've also tucked a bottle of cognac under my arm. You thought it was just another fling, I say. It's 10 in the morning. Is cognac a good idea? He asks, yawning. He didn't sleep much. It's Sunday, I reply with a shrug. He hesitates, shrugs as well, gets up, and pulls 2 glasses off the shelf. In Normandy, they mix coffee and Calvados. Did you know that? He asks. No, I've never been to Normandy. Have you? No, he says, throwing himself back down on the sofa. I haven't either. He's what, 25 years younger than you, right? I ask. Yeah, 24, actually. I guess he had to turn a new leaf. Some guy who admires him so much it's insane. Well, I say, He probably needs someone who constantly looks up to him, and you weren't like that, were you? Hell no. I was the father figure. 3 years as the father figure should be enough, I say with a half smile. Yeah, whatever. We should visit Normandy together, now that we're both single, he says.
She wore a yellow beret. I didn't know why. I didn't ask. She was sitting alone. Why bother her? I thought. There's always a story about why people do what they do. Perhaps, I thought to myself, she's maybe somehow involved with those yellow vests, and this was her way of showing solidarity, or maybe she's the secret head of the yellow vest, that's probably it, and they waited each day to see if she'd show up in that park. And on the days that she wore that yellow beret, that was the signal, the sign of what was going to go down that weekend. Well, maybe she turned her apartment into one of those aviaries, you know, with hundreds and hundreds of flying canaries. We've all heard of cat ladies, you know. Old women who take in strays until their living conditions become a health hazard to them and the cats. Or birds. But I think that's why she loved the color yellow. It reminded her of those birds that she had back at the apartment. But then, you know, I started thinking. She didn't look like she was from here. I mean, she really looked different. Almost not human. Like she was from another galaxy sent to our planet to check things out. You know, see with all these human beings living in this big apartment called Earth, would it be safe for her people? If that was true, I admired her. In a way, she was like that canary in the coal mine, you know. The coal miners would take a canary down into the bowels of the earth, and if the air was bad, and that bird died, they knew it was time to come up and get out of there. Just then, she keeled over. She did a face plant, and I mean she dropped dead on the spot from her perch on that chair. Meow. Meow. I'm thinking to myself, we killed her. Our planet killed her with, you know, with all the bad air and water. Meow. I'm just thinking, great. That's just great. Her people probably already have a cure for cancer. And now they'll never come. Meow. Meow. A furball or something.
Station wagon pulled away from the curb. It was filled with suitcases and boxes, but I could also see men's clothes on hangers, a framed painting, an old guitar, and a lamp. The driver glanced sidelong at my dog and me. He seemed aghast. In the window of the house, a woman in a robe was staring out and taking quick puffs from a cigarette. A little boy was standing in front of her. with his nose and the palms of his hands pressed against the glass. He didn't draw or write anything in the fog his breath made.
Strange question. When you walk in to this museum, when you're going to walk in actually tonight, is the soft open, as they say, which is interesting, the soft open, and you just described the story with the Velveeta cheese to the timepiece. Strange question. When you walk in, have you ever said, "Hello, Dolly"?
I don't understand. Is this a stupid joke? I don't understand.
You know, like the Broadway musical. Hello, Dolly.
Oh, hello, Dolly. It's so nice to have you back where you belong. Oh, Louis Armstrong. Have I thought of that? No, but I think it would be interesting to have that music in the background while maybe people like you would appreciate a funny, how do you say, pun, play on words.
Yes. So in my notes, it says that Dali was an abstract painter. It says that he was one of the greatest painters of the 20th century. It says that he had an actual friendship with Pablo Picasso. It says that he mentored and really had many other painters that took on his style. He transcended art. It's right there. Can you see my note? Transcended art. My question is, looking at this gallery that you're going to open tonight and all the paintings, how long did it take, like just one painting, to nail it, or do you use a nail when you put it in do you use a nail when you put it in the wall with a wire, like what I would do at home? I'm just curious the process of hanging the painting.
To tell you the truth, I think I would prefer to be interviewed by the person who prepared your notes than by you, because what kind of a question is that?
So I have another question, stranger than the other one. If you had Salvador Dali and Picasso in the same room, what would you ask them?
Sometimes it's not enough to know what things mean. Sometimes you have to know what things don't mean. The author, Bob Dylan. You will not be punished for your anger. You will be punished by your anger. The Buddha. Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. Kierkegaard. If you perfectly recreate the Mona Lisa on an etch-a-sketch, yet choose to live 5 meters from the epicenter of an active earthquake, you can tell people you are indeed a struggling artist. Unknown struggling artist. Pogo sticks laugh at Segway machines when the batteries die. With a pogo stick, attitude and aptitude equals altitude. Unknown pogo stick inventor. The world is full of shipping clerks who have read all the Harvard classics and great writers who know nothing about container yard to container yard demurrage fees and port storage guidelines. Unknown, unknown.
I want an what used to be the skyline to the city. It looks like someone left the hot dogs on the grill for a long, long time. And everything is charred and black. I once had a customer who liked his hot dogs charred. And I mean black. I never understood why he liked them that way. Sometimes in life, people will do things like that, you know, with all the modern, did you know that a spatula has more uses than you would ever think? A spatula. I like to say the word spatula. I like to say the word spatula now. It comforts me when I look out and see. Fortunately, I didn't lose my spatula in the what happened. I wonder if there is enough of us left over to form a spatula society. You know, with the time we have left, we could flip things over and over and over that needed flipping with our spatula.
Listening to the Muffy Drake Show podcast. We hope you enjoyed your time here with all the stories we told you. We kind of jump around a lot with no connection from one thing to the next, if you noticed. I mean, it's like, I once had a favorite aunt, and her name was Aunt Dot, you know, like the polka dot. And, well, what I mean is, sometimes I'm wondering if a Cuban cigar is worth all the fuss. You know, I mean, everyone talks about them all the time. I don't smoke anymore because of, what happened that time we were with the Swedish family from Norway, the ones with the accents. But I'll save that story for the next time we get together.